May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So here's what happened. Just yesterday, I heard this gospel passage in a very different way than I have ever heard it before. Yesterday. This is hot off the press. I would have liked if it had come earlier in the week, if I'm being honest. Saturday's close to Sunday. But just yesterday, and I don't know, maybe you're thinking that doesn't sound very exciting. But I've been preaching for 10 years now. Still just a drop in the bucket, but 10 years is long enough that when this gospel passage comes along with some frequency, I have a tendency to do a little bit of like, all right, here we are, we're back at take up your cross, I've heard this one before, I'm out of fresh ideas, I'm not sure how to talk about this one, et cetera, et cetera. So, it was a big moment for me yesterday when I heard this in a new way, and it speaks to why it is so important to read these passages of Scripture over and over again, even though I am prone to complain about that at some times. But I was with my mom yesterday. Mom's here. Mom came over two bridges to get here. I appreciate that. If I'm being honest, it's not to hear me. It's because I told her about how good the choir was. So thanks for bringing it today. Anyway, I was sitting with my mother, not complaining about the gospel passage for today. And she said, go ahead and read it to me. So I read it out loud to her. And this is what I heard different. I'm going to tell you about this. I heard Jesus began to teach the disciples about how he would be killed and after 3 days again. He said all of this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. So, earth-shattering. I know, but this is what I heard differently, that he said all this quite openly, and that Peter took him aside and rebuked him. For some reason, this is not the way I have heard this passage before, and what has happened for me all of the many times that I have considered this piece of Scripture is that I find myself really feeling for Peter. We hear about Peter a lot in Scripture. He comes up a lot, and part of that is because, at least from the stories that we are being told, he's really willing to put himself out there. He's really willing to blurt aloud seemingly whatever comes to his mind. And I give Peter a lot of credit for that, because he says things that I wouldn't be bold enough or brave enough to say, and he does things that I'm not sure I would be bold or brave enough to do. And it doesn't always end well for him. And this is one of those examples. Just before this passage from Mark, we hear a different story where Jesus is saying to the disciples, who do you say that I am? And everyone is saying different answers, and Peter says, you are the Messiah. That time, Peter gets it right. Jesus responds with praise to Peter that he got the answer right. And so typically, when I've read this passage before, I've gotten really feeling bad for Peter that just 5 seconds ago, that he was the kid in the front of the class that was getting the answer right, and now suddenly Jesus is speaking these harsh words to him. Get behind me, Satan. And that seems like maybe a little unnecessary, right? He just did the right thing 5 seconds ago. And so I've always gotten all caught up in feeling bad for Peter that he's back and forth. But when I read this, when I read it aloud to my mom, I really heard Jesus said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside to rebuke him. And I can tell you there have certainly been times in my life when I am trying to speak my truth or do what I believe that God has called me to do, and some well-meaning person, because I do think that Peter is well-meaning, pulls me aside to in my ear, you know? I don't know what Peter's rebuke looked like. We don't get that level of detail in this story. And it's safe to assume that Peter was distressed by what he heard Jesus saying, and so he was just fighting with him to say, no, 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 that's not the case. But we know what it's like to be trying to act on God's will and to have someone come at us, especially when we're trying to do it in an open and honest and clear way, and to be pulled over to the side into the corner. That doesn't feel great. It reminded me of a story that doesn't even remotely compare to what's happening here with Peter and Jesus, but when I was first ordained, I went down to serve at a church in North Carolina, and as soon as they put this collar on me, I was so sure that everyone that looked at me was going to call me out for the fraud that I felt like. You know, that everyone was going to say, you have no business wearing that thing, take it off. And the rector at the church that I was working with asked me to come with him to the Episcopal retirement community in town to meet and greet the folks there that were affiliated with our church and to talk to them about the outreach ministry that was happening in our church at the time. And I know that doesn't sound like a big deal, but I tell you, I was just shaking in my boots. I was so nervous to speak to those people. You might have noticed that I'm a fast talker. I'm trying to go really slow, but I'm a fast talker. I do okay in Rhode Island. It was a problem in North Carolina. And so then to add me being nervous on top of me being Northern, it was just a bad situation. And so I'm in front of these folks and I'm telling them about the outreach committee work, and I gave them 5 minutes worth of information in 90 seconds and sat back down, which is where I felt like I belonged. And when it was over, one of the women who was there to listen to me gave me the little this. And I naively thought, oh, maybe she's going to tell me I'm doing a great job. But that's not what happened. She let me have it about how fast I was speaking and about how I needed to slow down. And I blacked out the specific words that she used, but she was very thorough in her discussion with me about how I should have done that. And she just caught me in such a vulnerable place, you know? I was just so nervous, and I was so convinced that what I was saying had no worth. And so she just went straight, I just let it go straight to my heart, you know? And I remember going home and calling my sister and having a good cry on the phone because I was just so undone by what she said to me and so afraid to speak again for fear of making the same mistake again. And so I offer you that story not because it was incredibly profound. I'm not sure if my description about our outreach committee work was the most bold thing God has ever asked me to do. I'm quite sure it was not. But I want to use that as an example for how dangerous it can be to have someone, even well-meaning, be coming at us and pulling us aside to offer a rebuke when we are trying so hard to do the work and the will of God. And it helps me to understand, thinking about that story and countless others that I would never tell in a sermon, that, you know, it helps me to think about why it was so important for Jesus to speak back loudly to him and say, get behind me, Satan. Because this is the first time Jesus is foretelling of his death and resurrection. This is a big deal, what he's saying to people. And my guess is it wasn't the easiest thing for him to speak aloud, that he did it with intention, that he did it with prayer, that perhaps he did it with a little bit of shaking in his own boots. And to have this trusted disciple, this person who so many times did do the right thing, take him aside and rebuke him, perhaps get behind me, Satan, was the force with which he needed to say it to Peter in order to continue to do the will of God set before him. It's hard. It's hard because sometimes that voice has a little bit of truth in it, or maybe that voice is saying exactly what you hope to hear. I can't imagine Jesus would have been upset about hearing Peter say, no, 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 this can't happen to you, right? But it's so important for us to recognize that voice for what it is and be clear about when it's trying to pull us away from the will of God and from the work of God. And that is why I think Lent is so important, because it's this period of time set apart in our lives and in our church to spend some time considering how that relationship with God is. Because here's the other problem, right? You have to be clear on what the will of God is. You have to be clear on what the work of God is, right? If you're going to be able to silence those voices, they might be from another person, they might be in your own head. But if you're going to be able to not let those voices get into your heart and throw you off course, then you have to be very, very clear about whose voice it is that you are listening to, right? And that the course that you are set on is that of God. And we can't do that if our relationship with God is not in a good way, if we're not hearing God clearly, if we're not in good spiritual health ourselves, if that connection is not strong enough, and if the din of life and all of the voices offering their opinion, Lord knows there are plenty, are too loud for us to be clear about God's voice. So that's why this period of time is so critical for us. To these words that I can't stand using, like penitence and, you know, having to repent and turn back to God. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun, which is, I like fun, but it's so necessary. It's so necessary to take stock and to take that evaluation and say, where am I at? How is that connection? And has something happened that needs to be repaired in order for me to hear God's voice in my life more clearly, in order for me to have more certainty that I am acting on God's will and doing God's work? You know, it's good news and bad news that we're not Jesus. Jesus seems to be pretty clear on what that work was, and his particular work was pretty challenging. You know, and that's the truth for us sometimes too. This language is not gentle. Take up your cross and follow me. Oftentimes, the work that God is asking us to do, the path that God is putting in front of us, doesn't come easy and will fill us with our own doubts and questions. We don't hear it in this Old Testament passage, but just after God says to Abram, "You will be Abraham, I will make a covenant with you, your wife Sarah will give birth to a son," the next line is, "Abraham fell on his face laughing." That's what happens next. Because we all know that sometimes God calls us to the next thing and we think, I don't think so. That's not happening. And so it does take terrific spiritual resolve to hear that call, to appreciate that covenant, to be brave enough to follow God's will and God's way, and to silence those voices that try to threaten that work and try to pull us away from God's will. Now, I'm not saying we have to say, "Get behind me, Satan," to everyone who tries to tell you to slow down when you're talking too fast, okay? I appreciate your input. I have found is a very safe thing to respond to someone with, you know, or something along that line. But in your head, even though "get behind me, Satan" sounds real extreme, sometimes I think we have to acknowledge that maybe the threat of that commentary actually is something that needs to be rebuked in such a harsh way, right? Maybe in our head we need to think, "No, get behind me, Satan. I will cling to this path that God has set before me. I will believe in God's will, and I will do God's work." So I'm certainly grateful. I'm grateful that I heard this passage a new way. I encourage you to read scripture over and over and over again, even if you need to read it out loud to your mom, to hear a little something different. Because I think our inclination as Christians is to be nice. You know, I think we want to be nice, and we hear "get behind me, Satan," and we think, "Oh, that's not nice. I don't want to say that." But this work that we're being called to as Christian people following Jesus Christ, it's not always nice. It's thorny, it's difficult, it's empowering, it's bold, it's transformative. And it requires us to be strong and to be bold and to acknowledge when those voices around us are trying to drag us down and to have the courage to say back, "Get behind me, Satan. I will do the work and will of my God." Amen.